I'm very happy this morning that I can meet you online and to share the Word of God to you. The sermon title that I have is called, Are You Kidding Me? The passage is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Please hear me read the Word of God. Once when he was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, the crowd was pushing it on him to better hear the word of God. He noticed two boats tied up. The fishermen had just left them and were out scrubbing their nets. He climbed into the boat that was Simon's and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Sitting there using the boat for a pulpit, he taught the crowd. When he finished teaching, he said to Simon, "Push out into deep water and let your net out for a catch." Simon said, "Master, we have been fishing hard all night and haven't caught even a minnow. But if you say so, I'll let out the net." It was no sooner said than done. A huge haul of fish, straining the nets past capacity. They waved to their partners in the other boat to come help them. They filled both boats, nearly swamping them with the catch. Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell into his knees before Jesus. "Master, leave. I'm a sinner and can't handle this holiness. Leave me to myself." When they pulled in that catch of fish, all overwhelmed Simon and everyone with him. It was the same with James and John, Zebedee's son, co-workers with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "There is nothing to fear. From now on, you'll be fishing for men and women." They pulled their boats up on the beach, left them, nets and all, and follow him. This is the word of God. I'm not sure about you, whether you have ever been in a situation where you think that God is absolutely playing a joke on you. Well, in my case, some of you do know that my father, he was, still is, a church minister. And as a pastor's kid, growing in a Christian home, someone would think that it is automatic or natural for the son to follow his father's footsteps. Well, that was not my case. Some of you do know that I enjoy watching movies, and I was major in studying movies at university. And even today, I enjoy talk about movies. Going to seminary to become a minister, a church pastor, or even a missionary has never been on my agenda. And so today I would like to share with you whether God sometimes would be playing a joke on us. The passage we have read this morning, it is a familiar passage to many of us. Here we are told that Jesus one day, he was followed by a great crowd, and he was just passing by the lake called Gennesaret, which is another name for Lake Galilee. So this great multitude of crowd, they following Jesus, Luke described that they want to hear the word of God. I find this is such a beautiful description, that this crowd, they're following Jesus not because they want to see whether Jesus could perform some kind of magic, some kind of show, that he could heal people, or they want to hang around with their friends just to have a good time. But this crowd, they are dedicated. They want to hear Jesus speak the word of God. Living in the 21st century, I believe this is one of the most challenging tasks, is to follow Jesus and hearing him what he has to say to us. Verse 2. So as Jesus being pushed by the crowd, and he was being edged nearby the water, just happened that he saw two boats ahead of him. Some of the fishermen, they have left and to wash their nets, but Simon Peter was left behind. So here we're not sure whether the two, they have ever met before. But in Luke chapter 4, we are told that the two, they actually had an encounter. In chapter 4, Luke tells us that Simon actually invited Jesus to his home to heal his mother-in-law. She has a high fever. So we're pretty sure that the two, Jesus and Simon, they already had one encounter. So today, when Jesus saw Simon, when he made this request, may I use your boat as a pulpit? And for sure, Simon Peter was very generous and happy to invite Jesus to be on his boat. And then Jesus asked him to pull the boat a bit away from shore. And he teach the crowd on shore from Simon Peter's boat. Verse 4. When Jesus finished teaching, he said to Simon, "Push out into deep water and let down your net for a catch." Now this was just a very simple and natural request from Jesus. However, this simple request was not something easy for Simon to obey. Verse 5, Simon said, "Master, didn't you know we have been working hard all night? And we haven't caught anything, not even a small minnow. But if you say so, I'll let out the nets." Deep down Simon Peter's heart, this must be what he was thinking. "You gotta be kidding. You didn't know that we and my crew work hard all night. And we are professional fishermen. We didn't catch anything. Now in broad daylight, this is the worst time to catch fish. And you ask us to go to the deep water and let down the nets. Are you out of your mind? Are you making something that is logical? But no problem. Because you're a rabbi, you're a teacher, and after all, the crowd are still there looking at us. So I will obey you. We'll go to the deep water again. We'll let down the nets." Maybe to prove in his heart that we are right and you're wrong. And so no sooner as they did that, they let down the nets. And as they pulled the nets up, and it was a miraculous catch. They were not able to pull the nets by themselves. They need to signal the other boat to help them. And the two boats of professional fishermen pulling the nets up, and both boats filled with fish. And to a point that the boats almost began to sink. No matter from which angle we look at it, this particular fishing expedition is a miraculous catch. The night before, this crew of professional fishermen, they work hard all night according to their expertise, according to their experiences, and yet it was a big zero. And today, a rookie rabbi teacher, someone who has very little net knowledge about fishing experience than them, simply gave a simple request. Simon and his crew were very much reluctant to obey. And yet, as they pulled the net up, and they were able to catch 2 boatful of fish. This plentiful catch caught Simon Peter and his crew completely off guard. He was literally astonished and overwhelmed. He didn't realize this Jesus who was sitting on his boat. He thought he was just an ordinary rabbi. Maybe Jesus could perform a little miracle by healing his mother-in-law's high fever. But he never expected that Jesus could perform such a miraculous catch. He recognized his incompetence, his sinfulness. He was, in the beginning, at first, he was annoyed. He was not convinced. He found whatever Jesus made that request to go into the deep sea and let down the nets, it was absolutely unacceptable. It was unreasonable. And he was reluctant to go out again. And now he realized he was wrong. He was stubborn. He was ashamed. This particular experience overwhelmed Peter. He felt absolutely ashamed, and in great humility, he felt at Jesus' knees, and he recognized himself as a sinful man. Before Peter met Christ, Peter would consider himself to be an expert in fishing. Up until that moment, Peter was his own boss. He was in charge of his future. He believed he had no need for anyone to tell him what to do about his life, especially not by a regular rabbi. Perhaps we could all relate to this at some point in our lives. We don't like to be told by someone to do this and to do that. I believe when I was young, whenever I have to go out, my mom used to ask me, "What time are you coming back?" And I would say, "Maybe 10-ish. And then she would add one more phrase that would really take me off. "Please don't come home too late." And as a young man at the time, I would think like, "What's wrong with her? What's wrong with you? I'm a responsible adult. I know when to come home. I don't need nobody to tell me when I should come home." Now that my mom is not around, and I'm married with a wife and 2 daughters, whenever I drive and I would hear someone would say to me, "Hey, don't drive too fast." And that really ticked me off. Because when whoever that person is, either my wife or my 2 girls, as if they don't trust my driving ability, as if they don't know that I have such a good record, as if I don't know how to drive. We all like to take charge. We all like to say to ourselves, we are our own boss. Same thing goes with Peter. So now that he saw this boat full of fish, he was overwhelmed. Now that he had this encounter with Jesus, he knew that he was so incompetent before Jesus. Philip Yancey, in his book, The Jesus I Never Knew, writes, "No one who meets Jesus ever stays the same." I believe this statement is well said. No one who meets Jesus ever stayed the same. So at this most awkward and embarrassing moment, Jesus said to Simon, "There is nothing to fear. Get up. From now on, I want to recruit you. I want you to be on my team. I want you to change your career from fishing for men, for fish. Now, I want you to become fishing for men and women. Verse 11, Simon and his crew, they pulled their boats up on the beach. They left them, boats, nets, and the rest, and followed Jesus. There are a few lessons that I learned from this text. The first one is that it is the grace of Jesus that today you and I become the disciple of Jesus. Here in the text, we are told that it was Jesus who went into the crowd and looked out for Simon Peter. It was Jesus who chose Simon Peter and not Peter who chose Jesus. Today, you and I can become the disciples of Jesus. It is because the grace of Jesus. He chose us to be his disciples, not because of who we are, not because we are Chinese Canadian, not because we are more sophisticated, more intelligent, not because we are better than anyone else, rather because of him. He chose us, he accepted us, and he loved us, and he called us out from the crowd to follow him. The second lesson that I learned is that Jesus made this simple request to Simon. Why don't you move the boat out into the deep water again and let down the nets? I find this is one of the most interesting and challenging tasks to us today. Some of us may have followed Christ for some time, and the last thing we want from him is to tell us to do something that is contrary to our ways. To some of us, maybe we live quite comfortably for some times. We don't like to be disturbed. We like the way it is. We don't want to be move around and move out of our comfort zone anymore. Didn't you know that we are all aging and we are experiencing a COVID, and we don't want to take risk anymore? And yet it is at this particular moment in life, sometimes Jesus would say to us, why don't you move your boat into the deep water one more time? Let down the nets. Don't be a smart aleck. Give it a try. Maybe you haven't seen anything better and haven't experiencing anything deeper yet. I want to give you a surprise. Maybe you would react just like Simon Peter did. You would find Jesus' request was annoying. It was ridiculous. It would be unacceptable, unreasonable. But if you were willing to take the risk, and if your spiritual eyes would be open to realize that Jesus is no ordinary person, if you can believe and trust that he is the Lord of this universe, you would obey and risk one more time. The last lesson that I learned from this text is the one recorded in the last verse. They pulled their boats up on the beach. They left them behind, nets and all, and followed him. Simon and his crew, after they have experienced this great miraculous catch and the grace from Jesus, they were willing to give up everything that they had. Everything that they thought would be valuable and important to them. I believe Jesus today is asking us to be willing to surrender our lordship to Him, to be willing to give up of what we think is good, what we think is important, what we think is valuable, and to let that go, and to let Him, allow Him to take control. If we are willing to do so, I believe Jesus will be able to help us to experience even more and greater miracles in our lives. The year was 1984. With fear and trembling, I went to Regina, studying at Canadian Theological Seminary. Deep down, I was still not sure. I was still debating whether God was playing a joke on me. He must have been pulling my leg, kidding with me. Studying theology was never a cup of tea for me. And yet, now that I look back, God was faithful. He was not kidding with me. He was willing to use me, Dick Kahn, to serve Him and to extend His kingdom. May the glory, all the glory, honor, return back to God. From 1996 to 2021, 25 years of serving God in Europe. If you were to ask me to make a summary of what we do, I can only say we were there to make disciples and multiply churches. Today, Europe is also known as European Union. Under European Union, EU, there are 27 membership countries. Under EU, there are approximately 1.8 million Chinese living there, equivalent to 1.8 million living in Canada. From 1996, there were only 6 Chinese Alliance churches. Today, we have altogether 28 Chinese Alliance churches. This was possible because of the joint effort between the churches in Canada, USA, and Hong Kong. And we give all the glory to God. In France, from 1992 to 1996, we have 4 Chinese Alliance churches. But from 1996 to 2021, we have increased 6 more churches. So today, we have a total of 10 Chinese Alliance churches in France. This is a photo of Pastor and Mrs. Philip Gao. Philip, before he became a full-time church minister, he was teaching full-time in a local high school. But God called him into full-time ministry. And he obeyed God's calling by quitting his job, went to Bible college, and since the start of this year, he became a full-time pastor in one of our Chinese Alliance churches in France. We need to invite you to pray for Pastor Philip Gao, as he is a rare breed serving the FBC in France. We pray that God would raise even more young, dedicated Christian to serve God among the second generation. Pastor Peter Tan and his wife came from Beijing, and then they left Beijing, went to East Africa, Kenya, became very successful merchants. It was also during that time they met the Lord in Kenya and they became Christians. Later on, they heard God's calling. Lo and behold, they concluded their business. They left Kenya and went to study theology full-time in Singapore. Upon graduation, we invited Pastor and Mrs. Tan came over to France to work in one of our Alliance churches. And today, we are serving together as one team. Last October, Pastor Peter Tan was ordained as a minister in one of our Alliance churches. We also went down to southwest of France in a city called Bordeaux, where there are many Chinese students and Chinese family living there. 3 years ago, we started a church. Now, the Bordeaux Chinese Alliance Church, they meet regularly. They have approximately 20 to 25 attendants on a given Sunday. Sometimes when we give the mission report, we have a tendency only give the good news, the happy news. But today I would like to share with you some of the sad news. Here in Paris Chinatown, we started a Chinese social center approximately 15 years ago. However, over the year and a half during the COVID time, because of lacking of funds, we have to give up this center's office space back to the landlord. Because of the economic downturn during the COVID time, many of our supporting donors, so we do pray that you would pray for the future of this Chinese social center, and also if God ever so move you, that you would give and support the mission work in France and in Europe. God also opened doors for us to the UK, London, and Cambridge, as well in our neighboring countries, Netherlands, Germany, and Spain. Many good opportunities to plant Chinese churches. We need also to pray for the local second generation workers. Here, two of our dear co-workers in Netherlands churches, because of various of reasons and discouragement, they have recently both left their position and work elsewhere. Pray that God will continue to bless the second generation worker in France and in Europe. Few years back, God opened door for us to work among the French islands in the Caribbean Sea, Guadeloupe, Martinique, and Saint Martin. You might be thinking why we would go to these places, because on these three French islands, there live many of our kinsmen. By God's grace, we were able to establish three new Chinese Alliance churches on these islands, both in Guadeloupe, Martinique, and Saint Martin. But we need to pray and support these churches, because up to this day, they still do not have a full-time pastor to serve among them. We also need to pray for especially the second generation ministry. A lot of these young people, they grew up speaking French. So 3 years ago, we invited a young pastor from Montreal Grace Church, Pastor Joseph Cheung, who is fluent in French, English, and Mandarin. He took a team, went down to these three French islands and ministered to these young people. As Chinese Alliance churches began to develop in Europe, so we saw the need to establish a fellowship group. In 2013, we formally organized a fellowship group called FACES, Fellowship of Alliance Chinese Churches of Europe and Surroundings. Every 2 years, we would organize a symposium where we gather all the Chinese Alliance churches, pastors, and lay leaders to have fellowship, to support one another, and to pray for one another. We also organize teachers training and discipleship training. The first teachers training that was held in Paris, more than 180 plus Sunday school teachers show up. We were literally surprised by the attendance. Today in the mission field, one of the least reached people group is also known as 4 to 14 years old. They are known as the least reached people group. And these are the children and the youngsters from our family, from our churches. To do mission work today, one need not to go overseas and go to places where it is far from your homeland. The least rich people group, they are actually in our midst. They are the children from our own home and from our own churches. So we need to pray and especially ask God to give us dedicated Sunday school teachers to work among the 4 to 14 years old. We want to thank God that He led us also to North Africa and West Africa. Most of these countries were once belonged to France, colonized by France. After several trips to Morocco, God enabled us to start the first Chinese Christian church in Casablanca. We give God all the glory and honor. And we took team from Paris to West Africa, Senegal. The photo gentleman in the center wearing red shirt is Pastor Wong from our Paris church. 1996, when we first went to France, Pastor Wong, at the time, he was a chef. He was the owner of a fast food restaurant. 20 plus years later, he became a pastor. He speaks fluent French, and he took his church team down to West Africa, minister not only to the Chinese, but also to the Senegalese. Lastly, we want to thank God for opening door for us to minister to Kolkata, India. More than 15 years ago, we befriended with Pastor KT. Pastor KT is the first IBC, Indian-born Chinese, person I ever met. He was born in India, Calcutta, and he's committed to serve God in Calcutta. Pastor KT has a heart not only to reach out to the local Chinese, but also reach out to the local Indians. By God's grace, the Chinese church in Calcutta also started two local private schools. The students of these two local schools altogether has close to 3,000 students. 98% of the students are coming from Hindus and Muslim background. As we can imagine, because of these are church-operated private school, so each day, each student must attend the chapel hour organized by the school. So each day, more than 2,000 plus students, they would have half an hour to listen to pastor who share the word of God, the Bible story to them. They are asked to pray and to sing hymns together. Brother Shah, the gentleman in the center of the photo, is a brother from the Paris Grace Church. Brother Shah has been a very successful businessman. Over the past year, Brother Shah has decided to pass on his business responsibility over to his son and his daughter so that he could be free up to be able to serve God more freely. Just like Peter, I believe God is speaking to some of us today that He would challenge us once again to move our boat into the deep water again, to let down our nets to go for a big catch. Are you willing to obey? Are you willing to let go and let God once again to take control of your life? Indeed, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. Please continue to pray for our family as we serve God in Europe. Thank you.